Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. I'm Michael Lombardi, and joining me is Will Hill, as he did the last hour. Dave Ross enjoying some family time back in Virginia Beach. I think he's taken all his money and bet the Cowboys -4 this week because he couldn't help himself yesterday. He was like so excited to bet them. I've never seen someone can get flipped around within one good play.
He is, and I say this lovingly, he is a fan's fan. He is always optimistic. He's excited. I'm sure he's pathing out the way for them to get in the playoffs, the Mets to get Soto. He is very optimistic, I'm sure, always, which is a great trait to have, one that I don't always share.
Speaking of Soto, what's the latest that you're hearing? I know you're a Met guy, too. I mean, no, you're a Yankee guy. But tell me about the Soto. What do you think is going to happen? When will a decision be rendered? When will white smoke come out of the Bronx?
Yeah, it's tough with baseball. These things tend to drag out. Usually the winter meetings, the first week of December is when we start to get the big signings. Like the bigger the contract, the more it tends to drag out. So probably sometime in December, mid-December, as a Yankee guy, I was confident they were going to re-sign him going into the offseason because they cannot afford to lose him. But I don't have that same confidence from all the reports. The Mets are the clear favorite. And boy, if he goes to the Mets, the Yankees are just not starting from scratch, but they weren't a championship team with him. I mean, they came close, but they are, you know, maybe a playoff team without him. So they need him. They need to just spend whatever it costs, but I'm not confident they're going to do that at this point.
Yeah, well, speaking of a champion, last night we saw the Harbaugh ball, and it really didn't disappoint. I mean, both teams really well coached, both teams trying to do the things that they do and execute. I thought the Chargers get the 10-0 lead, and then, of course, we see the Ravens come back with Lamar, who didn't disappoint either. I mean, he comes through again on his entire persona of being able to be a guy who can cover 3 points or less on the road, especially on night games, Will.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing. Harbaugh and Lamar, they cover these small numbers, which if it's a small number with the Ravens always being good, it tells you they get up for the big games. Remember earlier in the year against Buffalo, similar thing where they're like a 2.5 point favorite and they just smash Buffalo. Now they have trouble with Pittsburgh. They haven't beaten Kansas City in big spots, but they do tend to get up for these big games. And we're going to have another spot coming up against Philly this week where they're a 2.5 point favorite at home. And I think the big takeaway for me from this game, the Ravens might have wrestled away the AFC North from the Steelers in these last 4 or 5 days, with the Steelers losing to the Browns. Game they probably shouldn't have won anyway, but hey, they had the ball. They had the lead late. They weren't able to close the deal and get a couple first downs. And now the Ravens win kind of a coin flip game. Ravens -210 to win the North. Steelers the next four of the next five games at Eagles, at Ravens, Chiefs, at Bengals. Oof, I know they always, you know, seem to defy the odds and overcome this stuff, but that is a brutal schedule. That's as tough as it gets for Pittsburgh. So Baltimore might be in good shape. They still have the Giants. They still have some easier games coming up too. Baltimore does. So Baltimore, just look, the Chargers couldn't get them off the field. The Ravens punted twice in the first quarter. They punted at the end of the game when they're up 14, just running out the clock. But between that, there was 5 drives, 4 touchdowns and a field goal. And even when they got the ball at 14, even before they punted, they got 2 or 3 first downs and really let off any clock that the Chargers would have needed to come back. So the Ravens offense dominated this game. I don't feel really much differently about the Chargers. I didn't really think of them as a Super Bowl contender before. I don't think of them as a Super Bowl contender now. I think they're a playoff team. I think they're a very tough out with the coach, the quarterback, good offensive line, still a pretty good defense. But they're not, they're in the car. They're not in the front seat of the car. They're still kind of in the back seat. But again, it's a cliche. I wouldn't want to play them in round one of the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think to me that loss just shows you they're close. They're just not quite where they need to be. Right now, the line is they're a -1 favorite. Right now, I can see it in Atlanta as they travel. Atlanta coming off the bye. You know, 48 is the over total. I think we'll see. There's some pick-ems out there, but for the most part, they're a minus one. Be interesting to see how that line shifts. But I'm with you. I felt like, look, I think one of the things the Thursday night game brings to people who bet on weekends is the opportunity to think like a team. And one of the things I thought of last week was when Pittsburgh lost, John Harbaugh went into his team meeting on Friday morning and said, fellas, we got a great opportunity. We can't let this slip. Not that they were going to let it slip because they lost the week before in Cleveland, in Pittsburgh. So to me, I think it gave them a great motivating factor to get back into that game and to really focus and get their energy. And I just think they proved their superior talent and their superior skill set against a Charger team who's still in, let's face it, still in the rebuilding mode.
Early look ahead here, Ravens, Eagles, Ravens minus 2.5. Any early feel for that one?
Well, we're going to get to that in a second when we talk about the game of the week. But the first thing I want to do is I want to talk about what's on my mind. And I was stunned last night. I watched the Manning cast because I love listening to Coach Belichick. But when Mike Vrabel came out and said that Urban Meyer had no idea who he was, like, how does that happen? How does that happen? I mean, I could see it because I've been around Urban where he is very smug and, you know, and he just won't pay you time of day. But I mean, the guy was on his coaching staff, Will, for 2 years. It would be like me saying, I don't know who you are. I mean, like, seriously, how is that possible?
And Vrabel was a decorated player too. He won championships. Remember, he would catch passes in the Super Bowl. Like, he was a big time player in the Patriots. Very strange. I almost thought maybe Vrabel was kidding. By the way he said it, it didn't seem like he was kidding, but I don't know. You probably
I think he was pissed off. I mean, he wouldn't have brought it up if he didn't. I think he truly doesn't like the guy. I think he was pissed off about it, you know? So I think
what would be the what would be the root of that? I can't even, that's just such an odd story.
I think sometimes people are just, you know, coaches, they get so caught up. And look, I got told this years ago when I first started at UNLV, actually, Bob Owens, a former defensive coordinator at UNLV, one of the first coaches I've ever learned a lot from, God rest his soul. He told me, he said, let me tell you something. It isn't what kills this profession isn't the football, it's the ego. And he's right. And I think these egos of some of these people, they think they're bigger than them. I always tell the story all the time about, you know, look, the Michigan-Ohio State game is going to be sold out in the year 2075, but the kids are going to play and aren't even born yet. They come to watch the uniforms. Let's not forget about that. The people we watch the uniforms, and every year we'll learn to like the players, but it's not about us. It's about the game. So, and speaking of the game, well, we got a great one. Baltimore is going to host Philadelphia, and that'll be our Lowe's game of the week.
This is the Lombardi Line game of the week, presented by Lowe's. Here's Michael Lombardi.
Well, we're going to talk quarterback matchup. Now, look, I thought, and I'd be love to hear what you think, the quarterback matchup last week, I thought Jalen Hurts has just really done a nice job of playing within the system. He runs on third down, takes those opportunities, makes it very challenging to play cover two against him because he's going to take off and run. And if you don't rush correctly, it's a problem. But I think in terms of this game, Lamar's the more complete player. I think there's no question. Jalen does some really good things, but Lamar is just spectacular. His quickness, his athleticism, and anybody who thought he was a wide receiver coming out of college didn't watch Louisville tape because the guy can throw the football. Now, he sometimes loses the strike zone. I get that. But the guy can make unique plays that only a few players can make. Last night, he threw a ball over a check down that most people would have been sacked for a six-yard loss, and the guy didn't even touch him. So this one favors, I think, Baltimore in the matchup. Will, what do you think?
Yeah, you mentioned him coming out of the draft, and I'm a Vikings fan, and we drafted Mike Hughes over Lamar Jackson. Well, so the jury is still out on that pick, and the Vikings had a good team coming off an NFC title game. So I will get over that one day, but typical Vikings. What's the total on this game? Because I don't know
Rick Spielman, who made that pick, he's going to be advising the Jets. Why are you worried? Rick Spielman's
going to advise the committee. Him and Tannenbaum are part of the committee, I know. What's the total here? Because this feels like an over game. This feels like both teams, you know, the winner's probably going to have to score 30 points. Last team with the ball, I'm sure you're going to be going crazy because these guys are going to go for it on fourth down like crazy, knowing, hey, I need to score points to keep up. And I think Harbaugh's starting to, you know, not trust his defense, but realize, hey, I need to score to win. I can't be putting the ball back. Field position's not that important when I can't stop you. I've got a good short yardage game. So, you know, he's going for two. He's going for it on fourth down. I would look towards an over. I would lean towards Baltimore in the game. This will be a fun game. This will be a great game. But like we talked about, Harbaugh gets his team up for these big games. They're at home, which matters in this matchup. So I look for a high-scoring game, and I lean towards Baltimore winning.
Well, look, I think, you know, what we did with the Lowe's game of the week is true, because Baltimore is hard to run the football. And I know Saquon was spectacular last week, but it's going to be hard to run the ball in Baltimore against a very good Baltimore run defense, which is going to put the game in Jalen Hurts' hands. And it's going to force him, and we'll see if he can handle the blitz, see if he can handle the pressure. Look, I think they'll get Devontae Smith back. No one's playing better than the Eagles right now. But Baltimore has a way of playing these games like they did against Buffalo, or like they did against Denver, where they just come in and they just start playing really well. The over total is 50.5. There's a 51.5 out there in the market. I'm with you.
I think 50. That'll go up, I think. I think that'll keep going up.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it'll go up. But I think this is the game where Lamar, you know, his ability to move without I think the Brandon Graham injury for Philadelphia is significant. He was their best, really. I know Sweat has done a good job of rushing from the outside, but without Bryce Huff, who was disappointing for the Eagles as a free agent signing, and now losing Graham, I think they've lost a little bit of their outside pressure. And they've got to be, you got to be able to block Jalen Carter, Milton Williams inside. But for the most part, I think that you can handle the edges now, especially with Graham. I mean, that's what happened to the Rams. The Rams tackles played so poorly that the Eagles were able to finally take advantage of that game. So, yeah, this is going to be one of those where it's going to be fun to watch. It's a 425 game. It's going to be, you know, you're going to have turkey sandwiches. You're going to be able to sit back and enjoy it. And it's going to be cold in Baltimore. Let's just hope Scott Novak doesn't have to take over this game. I think that's going to be the key. And look, even though it's a short week for Baltimore, you know, these teams, that they understand what it's going to take to play, I don't think it really affects, because they're going to be off on Thursday anyway. So you're going to get a full rest day before you get into the game.
Yeah, and you mentioned the weather too. So, I mean, I like the over too, but this is the time of the year where you do want to peek at that weather report and make sure you're not betting into a blizzard or a windstorm or anything like that when you're betting these totals, especially.
Well, right now, as of right now, when I look at my weather map here, it says 31 and cloudy with 10-mile-an-hour winds. So it's going to be a typical December 1st day in the great city of Baltimore. Remember, it's Baltimore, gentlemen, right? Isn't that how it goes, Will?
The gods cannot save you.
The gods cannot save you. When we come back, we're going to talk about an offer you can't refuse here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't become a VSiN Pro subscriber yet, now's your chance to start betting smarter and save big. Sign up to our Black Friday special today and get VSiN Pro access to everything we do here now through May 1st for only $60. Sign up now and get access to our daily best bets, our exclusive betting splits from DraftKings and Circa Sportsbook with trends and analysis to make you a sharper better. 24/7 video access where you can see every show we have on our platform, plus all our betting guides, best bets for the upcoming college football playoffs, Super Bowl, and of course, March Madness. So don't miss out. Become a new subscriber with this offer on Black Friday. Visit VSiN/subscribe to sign up for our Black Friday special now. That's VSiN, VSIN.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line, and we're going to do one of Elliot's best little gigs that we have going. It's called an offer you can't refuse or a bet that's doomed to lose, Will. So let's start off with this. This is all these, what do you think of these plus money bets? Is it something that you would take or something that you wouldn't? And we got to start off with the Jags money line versus the Texans at only +180. What are your thoughts?
If I was going to bet the game, I would just take the plus money. I know Texans are coming off a loss and maybe get a bounce back, but if you can get Lawrence back, these AFC South games are usually close. These matchups are usually close, and it's the NFL. Every week we get a few of these surprises that we weren't expecting in terms of the upset. So if you're going to bet the game instead of taking the +5, I guess you could talk me into the +180, +190. Am I dying to bet it? No, but getting almost 2-1, I guess you could, twist my arm and make me take it here. How about you? Do you have any interest in this? You think Jags are live to win this or not really?
Well, I mean, everybody's going to say the logic, if you're taking Jacksonville, you're going to say, well, they had a bye week and they're rested. They should be back. They probably did nothing You know, the coach, you know, I mean, they probably did nothing. And, you know, I'm not betting this if it's Mac Jones or C.J. Beathard. And then I really shouldn't bet it if it's Trevor Lawrence coming off of an injury. So, and then they've lost all their skill. You know, they lost Gabe Davis now. They lost Christian Kirk's. I mean, we'll see. Tank Bigsby might be healthy, but are they all going to be in shape? I don't know. I think this will be an interesting game for D'Amico Ryans. Does he get his troops back? Does he figure out how to handle this team, this situation that his team's in? And does Bobby Slovic kind of expand this playlist to get C.J. Stroud to start playing better? So I think I'm a pass on this one. I think this would be one of those I'm doomed to lose whatever side I take. How about the Titans money line at Washington at +205? Now, I know your man, Will Levis, is hot. I know you can't wait to bet that one, Will.
I've bet the Titans way too many times this year. It felt so good for it to finally come through on Sunday. He's quietly played not the bad. I know, of course, look, he's got to throw a pick six and make you sweat. It can never be easy with them. But, you know, the prior couple games against the Chargers and against Minnesota, he was like 3 touchdowns, 1 interception, almost 400 yards passing. 3 touchdowns. The numbers weren't that bad. I like their defensive front. I think they got some good players on defense. I don't mind their weapons. I admit I have a weird thing for the Titans for some reason. I just can't get off them. Washington isn't playing well. I'd probably be on the Titans plus the points here. You could talk me into the Titans at plus money here for sure. I might end up on the Titans once again.
I think he could too, because look, I think one thing is, I think he's played better, and nobody's been more critical of Will Levis than I have. He has played better. He's too robotic for me. I don't think he'll ever. And I think it'll only show up when he goes against teams that can really rush. This Tennessee offensive line, there's moments where they look like they can't block anybody, but then they find a way to make some plays. I think I would take the Titans here. I really do.
It's hard for the Commanders. Kingsbury? Is it Daniels not being healthy? Is it Daniels not playing well? What's the issue here?
I think. Look, it catches up to you, right? When you declare who you are on tape, it may take 5 games, it may take 3 games, it may take 10 games. I think once Pittsburgh went in there and said, okay, here's what we're going to do, I think that people start to copy that. And do you have enough answers for that? Look, do they have another answer for, McLaurin, if you could take him out of the game? Obviously, Dallas did in the last play of that game where he just ran down the field against, 9 guys and made everybody miss. But, I mean, it's easy to blame Kingsbury, but I think that's really shallow. I think it's hard. Their offensive line isn't good enough. And here's the real key. They can't play from – when they don't play from in front, it's a real problem for them, because like last year's Dallas team, it exposes all their weaknesses on defense. And I think the Titans last week, we saw Tony Pollard run the ball really effectively. And I think if they can run the ball against the Commanders' run defense that hasn't been good, I think to me that would be a good one. All right, let's go 49ers money line at the Bills. There's no way you're getting me to take 49ers on the money line. They're too beat up. There's no way. Buffalo's coming off a bye. They may not bring their A game in the first half, but eventually they'll get it. You're not getting me. How about you at +250?
If you're going to tell me all the players are going to play, this is a Custer's last stand game. They need it. Like, I don't think they're going to win, but when do you get a team as talented as the 49ers +250? I get it's a mess right now defensively, but if I get all the players, if I get all the players, I'm probably not going to get the +250. I haven't bet it yet. I'm not sure I'm going to bet it, but it is interesting. Like, if they're healthy, this line is too high.
Yeah, to me, even when they're healthy, I mean, they're not the same team defensively.
It might be done.
They're too slow on defense. Devontae Campbell can't run a lick. They really miss Greenlaw. They don't have enough speed on their underneath coverage. I mean, Warner's playing out his tail, but it's hard, and they're just not big enough up front. They're just not good. And when you run this scheme, I think we're seeing it in Chicago. When you run this scheme, you better be really good in your defensive front, because you're not able to stop and take away easy throws from the quarterback. We saw it, Chicago. I mean, Minnesota, you watched the game. They were 2nd and 16 in overtime, and they throw 2 checkdowns to get a first down in overtime. Right. Because the scheme's too generic. You're not putting any pressure on the quarterback. You're hoping that the rush gets there, but it doesn't. All right, let's shift to college football. Texas A&M money line versus Texas at +190. I thought Dave Shoemate really rocked my world this morning when he said he thinks Texas A&M is going to pull an upset. Your thoughts?
I like A&M too. They disappointed me the other day with the way they played defense against Auburn. They've got some really good players in the front four. They got some pros along the defensive line. I just don't know. First of all, that's going to be a wild atmosphere for Texas to walk into. I don't know what Texas has shown us, what they've proven. They've beaten Michigan, Oklahoma win actually looks a little bit better now after what they did to Alabama. But you go through that schedule, they have really coasted through a soft SEC schedule. When they had to step up in competition to play Georgia, they got absolutely smashed at home. That game could have been even more lopsided. I give A&M a real shot. I actually think A&M plus the points is a good bet, and I will take a shot here, A&M on the money line. Yeah.
I would agree with you on that. I mean, Dave kind of said it there, and I think there is more to this than just – this is just not A&M versus Texas. This is a rivalry that goes – I mean, when you're a kid growing up in Texas, you either want to go to – your mom and dad went to A&M or your mom and dad went – something's going to – it's a heritage right. game, and I think those always are challenging, and teams play better. All right, how about this one? This is for the Bill Berman special. Alabama to make the college football playoff, plus 180. Are you taking it?
You can't put them in, can you? They lost to Vandy. They didn't just lose to Oklahoma. They got buried. Milroe looked awful. They lost by 3 touchdowns. I don't even know that they're going to beat Auburn, because Auburn's not that bad, and that game is always a little wonky. That game is usually close. You can't put Bama in. Would I die of shock if they put them in? No, but I'm not betting it. I don't think they should be in. I don't think they will be in. I wonder if there's a human element, too, where the committee, the first year of this 12-team playoff, they just don't want to hear everyone complain that Bama got in with 3 losses. The way they finished the season, I'll say Bama misses. I'm not taking this one. Do you agree?
I'm not sure they beat Auburn this week. I think that's going to be a hard one. Here's one I want to get to. Raiders with the fewest wins, plus 240.
They got a lot of competition, don't they? Jacksonville, Giants. I'd have to see the other numbers. I mean, look, if you told me you bet the Raiders plus 240 to have the fewest wins, I couldn't argue with you. They might be tying with a couple of these teams. I don't know. Like, all right, if the Raiders win another game, like, what do you need to have the fewest wins? Because there's a bunch of teams with 2, the Giants, Jacksonville, probably some team I'm forgetting about. I would need a little more just because there's so much competition, but I don't think it's like a terrible bet. Who's going to get the first pick? Who do you think is the favorite right now?
I think the Giants have to be with Tommy DeVito at quarterback. Now, you know, this game here, we don't know who the officials are, but this game here is going to be 34, no wind at all, and, you know, just cold temperatures in Kansas City for our game. It's 13. There's some 13s and a half out there. You know, we have Desmond Ridder still being the starter because Aiden O'Connell hasn't been activated yet, but I do think it'll be Aiden O'Connell. I'd be tempted to lay the 13. I don't think the Chiefs are going to lay off this at all. I think the Chiefs are going to stick it to Antonio Pierce, who apparently thinks he is the chief maker, and he knows he's got the recipe. I don't know where he stored the recipe, but he thinks he has it. So we'll see how it goes. Let's get a couple more in. How about Saquon Barkley to win the MVP at plus 500?
This was like 60-1, 70-1, like 4 days ago. I get that bet at 60-1. At 5-1, I don't think he's going to win. We've had voters say, hey, I'm flat out, I'm not voting for a running back. The word valuable is in there, and a running back can't be the most valuable player. Do I think there's like no chance he wins the MVP? No, I would just need more than 5-1. I think ultimately a quarterback still wins this award. I still think it's a quarterback award.
All right, real quick. How about Indiana to miss the college football playoff, 10-1?
No, you got to put him in. 1 loss, it's at Ohio
State.
You got to
go in, right?
They got to put them in. They're going to be in.
They got to put them in, right? There's no way you're playing that one. I agree with that. I think they have to go in, and they deserve to go in. I mean, if you're gonna sit there with Texas and 1 win and prop them up, they haven't really beaten anybody. You're going to take a shot at Indiana. I think that's so unfair. All right, when we come back, we are joined by our resident NBA expert, also our UNLV expert, and college football. Jonathan Von Tobel will join the show. We're going to talk about Oregon State, Boise State. Of course, we're going to talk about the Michigan-Ohio State game and plus much more when you come back to the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking for some action? Our friends at FirstBet have you covered. Sign up today to unlock exclusive promotions, plus watch and wager on hundreds of exciting horse races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's #1stbet.com. Use promo code VEASAN200 to claim 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Head to firstbet.com. That's firstbet.com today. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line with Will Hill. We are now joined by our resident NBA expert and college football aficionado, JVT. JVT, welcome back to the show. I hope all is well. How you doing?
I'm good. A little too much Will Hill in my life, though. We hosted a 4-hour show yesterday, and now here we are again today.
Well, I'm sure that you've got the world all handled, from scheduling to Major League Baseball to the Lakers. You've got it all. You know, I'm sure Will's taking care of all those things, right?
Oh, of course. It's funny you say that. I'm actually going over the NBA schedule now, right before we hopped on, looking over what's going to happen tonight. And Lakers are playing the Suns. We're going to get Beal and Durant back. So looking forward to that later this evening.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Let's talk about the college football playoffs, JVT. Sure. You know, are you in? We just in the last segment, we were talking about Alabama. Do they get in or are they not? What's your thoughts on Alabama with three losses, assuming they can beat Auburn this weekend?
I mean, I think I'm very big on resume, Michael. And so, like, my personal feelings are like, no, you shouldn't get in. You have three losses. Your three losses to Vanderbilt. Yes, Tennessee is, I guess, fine. And then Oklahoma. You know, those are two bad losses. I think that you should be dinged for that. And you should not be accounted for this college football playoff. And just because you lost your third game last week, if somebody suffers a third loss this week, that makes it, I guess, worse than your third loss. So you're going to be able to jump them. I just don't think that should be the case. So we'll see what the teams ahead of them do. But I think Alabama should be done at this point right now. And that's, again, like you said, assuming they beat Auburn. I think the Tigers are going to be very live in that spot. We saw a better Alabama team last year get very lucky to win that game and move on to the college football playoff. So I think that this is going to be a situation where they'll always be considered because they're Alabama. But I do think that this is not going to be a team that ultimately makes it, considering they're 4-3 in the SEC with two really, I would say, poor losses.
JVT, with all of these teams losing on Saturday, do you think now the ACC has a path for getting a second team, or maybe an SMU-Miami title game loser? Maybe Clemson gets back into the mix. And a couple weeks from now, when we finally have the bracket, we finally know these teams, what do you think is going to be the most controversial team that's left out or put in this field here?
Yes, to the first part, I think that becomes more live, right? Well, I mean, when you look at overall what this could be, and I always think that results really are going to matter, right? So, for example, if we get an ACC championship game with SMU and Miami, and they're both sitting on one loss, and it's a field goal game at the end, you know, a two-loss SMU that just lost to a one-loss Miami in the ACC championship game on the final play probably isn't going to drop that far. So I would assume that they're probably still going to have a really good shot at making it in. And given the fact that these SEC teams, as you mentioned, are sliding, I do think it opens the door for a runner-up in the ACC to potentially get in. And I think ultimately it's going to come down to the controversy is the group of five rep, right? And who's going to get in. This whole dynamic between Boise State and Tulane, you're right, you're hearing the push now is that we think Tulane, you know, the general we, is better than Boise State after they're ripping off these wins against powerhouses like North Texas, Charlotte, Temple, and Navy. I'm being facetious there, of course. And they're blowing them out, which is actually a benefit to them because Boise State is not doing that. Boise State, of course, is barely getting by. But the thing that will work for Boise State is a potential second consecutive win over UNLV. A ranked opponent and a second win over a team like that would really help them. But I'm assuming that we're going to have more conversations around the group of five rep as opposed to any of these other teams.
How about Michigan, Ohio State? Is there any way Michigan can score points on Ohio State and pull the upset?
I don't think so. I think that this is a problem for Michael. And, you know, we've talked about this a lot with this Michigan team, right? This is not a team that I think wants to play from behind that is capable of playing from behind. And I think that you are going to be playing from behind at some point in this game. Ohio State is going to be able to move the ball here. And if you're behind a team that is 83rd in EPA per dropback, 116th in successful drive rate, are you going to be able to continue to play catch up and not only just stick with Ohio State, Michael, but stay inside this number? And I do think, you know, Will and I brought this up yesterday, the factor that kind of hangs over all of this is Ryan Day's lack of success against Michigan. Even with a Big Ten championship game looming, I think that there's going to be, if there is an opportunity, that little demon on his shoulder going, run it up, right? Because he has just been getting destroyed in this rivalry. And if he can stick it to this team and really start to accentuate what this margin of victory is going to be, I think he's going to do it. And I think that puts them pretty live here laying 20.5 against Michigan.
I know we looked at some of these odds to miss the playoffs yesterday. Do you think there's a bet to be made in either market? And is there a scenario here where we get another curveball? Is there a scenario here where the committee gets something really that puzzles them after a result this week?
I mean, out of all of these that you're looking at right now, I think the interesting one is like, so if you're in my camp, and again, I am somewhat biased, but like look at Boise State, right? Yeah, Will, when we were on the show yesterday, I think we talked to like four people. It's like, well, Boise's going to get in. It's like, well, I don't know about that, right? Like, you know, UNLV is a very good football team, and that was a very scrappy game that they played. I mean, by yard per carry average, that was one of Ashton Gentry's worst games that they had played. So now we're just chalking up a potential rematch with UNLV as a win when I don't think that's necessarily the case. So I say that because Boise State on the no to make the playoff is plus 220. if you're somebody like me who does believe that UNLV is very live to win that game out there in Boise, should they rematch with one another, then I think you're looking at Boise State to potentially get in there. I think that's where you're kind of making the case. The other, of course, is Indiana, right? At no to 10-1, do we believe that the committee, whatever happens over the next 2 weeks, both rivalry week and the championship, that they're not going to hop somebody over Indiana because they were either idle or they'll make the case for a conference championship, like whatever it is? Or do we really trust that the committee is going to keep Indiana in the field? But for me, the top of the list is Boise State on the no, as somebody who does think this UNLV squad is very, very good and will push them in Boise should they rematch the title game.
How about, well, let's shift to Thanksgiving Day. Giants, Cowboys. We all can't wait to watch this one, right? But we'll all watch it. I don't, you know, everybody's worried about the ratings. Like, no one's going to have this on in their TVs in the living room while they're stuffing themselves with turkey. Giants are a -4. How do you play the Giants here if you do play the Giants? What's your thoughts?
I think it's the Giants here in this spot, Michael. Look, this is going to be ugly, and I am not going to look forward to watching this. But, you know, hey, look, it's 1 p.m. Eastern, so that's plenty of time to get a couple in you, right, and sit back and watch the game. So it's a little bit, you're numb to the pain. But here's the thing. You go back to Sunday against Washington and the win for the Cowboys, and you look at some of the, you know, as I call them, like the predictive numbers and what you're looking at in terms of, all right, how did this result play out? You got outgained by nearly 100 yards. You had a -0.7 in terms of net yards per play, but you were +2 in the turnover category, so ultimately you win a game like that. But I don't really trust that Dallas is a team that should be laying over a key number against a team that is pretty similarly rated to them at this point right now. And I get it. Tommy Cutlets got mocked on his home field and they look awful. And maybe there's some thoughts of this team kind of just saying, let's get through this thing. I don't think that's the case. These are professionals. This is a divisional spot and it's a big spot on the road on Thanksgiving. I think you're going to get a pretty good effort from Dable and the Giants. And I'm just not in the mindset of laying over a key number with this Dallas team. Not at all. I've watched them play football.
How about Detroit, Chicago? It's another situation where, hey, everyone's going to have the game on. People are going to want to bet it. I know people are going to have a hard time getting in front of this Detroit freight train. Do you wait for this line to go up and bet Chicago? Do you have any thoughts here on Bears Lions?
Yeah, I think you wait for it. I mean, look, so this is coming from somebody who, like, I had the Colts last week against them, tried to step in front of them, and it was more about this Lions defense than it was this offense. And they looked really good. Again, the buzzsaw continues to roll through opponents, now 9-2 against the spread and covering by a decent margin. But having said that, if you just go from a ratings standpoint, look, Chicago and Indy are, I think, two similarly rated teams. They are very close to one another in terms of power rating. And yet here we are, Detroit laying 10.5. And you can say, well, they were in Indianapolis last week. Yeah, but home field isn't really worth that much. You're still floating around like 1 point worth of home field. So that still gets you to that range of like maybe 9 here for Detroit against a similarly rated opponent. So again, that just speaks to the point of the market just continuing to upgrade the Lions. And will at some point, when do you want to try to, again, step in front of it with Detroit and take a team? Chicago's shown a little bit of fight. Caleb Williams coming off of a great performance. And yes, they had a flurry late to make that look a little bit more competitive than it was in the overtime loss to Minnesota. But if there was a team you could potentially do it with, it would be Chicago. And remember, too, the Lions were down two corners in the game against the Colts. We'll see if they're going to be healthy coming into this. Also lost another corner in the game, too. So if that secondary is beat up on a short week, I think Chicago could be somewhat live, but do I want to do it is the actual question.
Yeah, this is, I don't want to do a lot of things. How about that? Real quick, we got about a minute left. The Bucks Panthers. What's your take on this one?
Michael, I've been riding the train, man. My guy Bryce Young has turned things around. He's looked really solid. So for the last 3 weeks, I've been using him in these contest plays, and I think I got to go back to the well for a fourth straight week here. I mean, actually, this is going to be my fifth straight week. I forgot the Broncos game, which they did not cover. So, look, I've been on this team. Like, I think the improvement's real, and I think the Tampa Bay, with how bad their defense has been throughout the entire year and what Bryce Young has looked like and the change and the confidence, his ability to throw it downfield, the fact that Thielen's back, I'm willing to take another shot here for a Carolina team that's treated me well over the last 5 weeks. So give me the Panthers plus the points at home here one more week.
Oh, that's awesome. You're riding that Panther train. I mean, if you'd have thought that, Will Hill, during the season, that train was taking anybody on board, JVT, thank you so much. Great job again. And we'll look forward to your NBA picks online today. We'll see them. Make sure you subscribe to VSiN to get all of JVT's picks. And they're all good in college basketball, college football, and all around. So when we come back, we'll wrap up the show with our best bets of the day.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Best bets are brought to you by the G-Bank, the official bank of Visa. The G-Bank Visa signature card is your best bet, delivering 1% cash back rewards on all eligible gaming transactions and 2% cash back rewards on all other eligible purchases. For more information, head to VSiN.com/G-Bank. That's VSiN.com/G-Bank. Subject to credit approval, terms and conditions apply. So, Will, that leads us right to you. What is your G-Bank best bets of the day?
Yeah, this is one we kind of stumbled upon earlier when we were talking about yes, no to make the playoffs. This is, I still think, a good bet. The Atlanta Falcons plus 220 to miss the playoffs. They have not played well. They're not good on defense. And if you look at the schedule coming up, they are hosting the Chargers where they're an underdog. Then they will go at Minnesota to play the Vikings. Meanwhile, and they have a game later in the season at the Commanders. Meanwhile, Tampa's got about as easy a schedule as you could possibly have. I know Carolina's played better, but they have two games against the Panthers, the Bucs do. They host the Saints, they host the Raiders, and they have a game against the Cowboys. So Tampa could not only win this division, they could be in first place here in like a couple of weeks. And I don't know if Atlanta is going to be able to get one of these wild cards. I think Atlanta plus 220 to miss the playoffs is still a good bet. Maybe you shop around and you find Tampa to win a division. If you can get a comparable number, that leaves out the possibility that Atlanta can get a wild card. You just take Tampa to win the NFC, the NFC South. I think that's a good bet based on the schedules. Another one we talked about, just going over these games, I think A&M is very live against Texas. I will take the +6. Yep. I think their defensive front is very good. So I like that one. And then the Titans, I can't quit this team. Yep. I think their defensive line against the Washington offensive line is a good matchup. Levis has played a little better. Daniels hasn't played well. The team in general hasn't played well. I'll take the Titans plus the points. And I will throw one in. College basketball, this starts, this is why this is the best time of the year, one of the best times of the year. 45 minutes from now, Chicago State against Drexel. I will go under 64.5 first half. 10:30 a.m. start. These kids are going to be half asleep. There's going to be nobody in the building. These games are usually low scoring early. I don't know that anybody's going to be watching it, but I will go under 64.5 first half.
That sounds like the old Thomas Gable Des Moines special. I'm in Des Moines, actually. I'm actually north of Des Moines. I landed in Des Moines last night. I got to take a picture at the airport, but that sounds like a Des Moines special. But that's awesome, Will. Well, hopefully good luck on your bets. And now we're going to shift into what we call news or noise.
Is it news?
Corleone is a man who insists on hearing bad news immediately.
Or just noise.
Are you going to act like this is news?
Just noise. Let's separate the impactful from the insignificant with one simple question. News or noise?
All right, Will. Former Jet GM Mike Tannenbaum, Miami Dolphin GM Rick Spielman, former Minnesota, your guy Rick Spielman. They're going to help advise Woody Johnson on his search for head coach and general manager. Is this news or noise?
I feel like I should give you the steering wheel on this one. To me, this noise.
Oh, I'm coming back on it. Don't worry. I'll come back on it. Yeah.
Then just take it. I don't, they haven't had any luck picking these guys the way they've been doing it. So try something new, I guess. This is a strange one. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think usually in these situations, it's a little bit like when Dick Cheney was advising George Bush on who should be his vice president. And you know what ended up happening, don't you? Dick Cheney ended up being the vice president. So we might see Mike Tannenbaum and Rick Spielman as co-GMs after this is all said and done. Look, Woody needs all the help, but it's one thing to help on a search. It's another thing to change the organizational structure, which I don't think is going to happen. Jets head coach Jeff Albright, no discussions about shutting down Aaron Rodgers. He denied a recent report and confirmed that the quarterback will start on Sunday against Seattle. Is this news or noise, Will?
I guess it's noise because I didn't expect Rodgers to be shut down at least yet. What are they sitting on? 8 losses. So I guess you could, until they get like 9-10 losses and then they're completely like mathematically eliminated, why wouldn't he play? Look, anything to keep Aaron Rodgers in the news, I guess, is a good thing. And I'm sure we'll get a whole another offseason of will he play, will he not play? Seems like this has become just endless drama year in, year out with Rodgers. So I can't take it. Any Rodgers headline, whether he was going to play last year, whether he's going to come back from the ACL, just always something with him. And it's just, it hasn't led to anything on the field. So I don't know. Is this relevant to you?
No, it's noise. It's completely noise. Why would they bench him? I mean, who are they going to go to? What are they? It's basically you put a for sale sign on your franchise when you bench him. You're saying they're closing up shop for the year. I think the other news story that was involved the Jets is when Joe Douglas, the former general manager, was on the practice field talking to Albrecht. and they saw a helicopter landing, and Douglas said, this is according to Jay Glazer at Fox, and Douglas says to Albrecht, he says, well, if they're going to fire me, it's been great to serve with you. And literally, Woody flew in to fire him. So that was what was going on. Look, wow. The whole New York landscape is a mess. The whole New York landscape football is a mess. We've got Brian Daboll here. He's going to react to what Malik Nabers said in his post-game rant. Here we go. Elliot, roll the tape.
Yeah, Leek and I talked last night. We talked this morning. He's a very competitive individual. Again, you want to get the ball in his hands, and I got to do a better job of getting the ball in his hands early. And, you know, he's a smart young guy that's very competitive, Pat. And again, when you lose like that, it's a frustrating thing. But we've had good communication, as we always have.
How are we talking about Malik Nabers when the team stinks? This is what happens when you draft a receiver and your team stinks, because they want all the attention. I mean, they started the second half, Will, trying to throw the ball to Nabers. They're down 23-0. You know, of course, the quarterback almost got killed. And they, you know, a guy averages 10 yards a catch. He's a great player, but they have so many other problems. They can't pass protect. And now we're talking about Malik Nabers. This is why Bill Walsh said 40 years ago, the last position on your team you fix is the wide receiver. And this is evidence day one. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and Parcells was a big believer, and you build the team from the inside out, from the lines out, and this is another example of it. But did you watch the offseason Hard Knocks? Because I remember when they were about to draft Nabers in the pre-draft process, there was like a similar conversation between Daboll and Nabers where he's talking about him, and he's like, hey, you don't like to lose, too. You're sort of hinting at, there was, I think, a time in college where Nabers kind of threw a fit when they were losing. And Dave was like, it's all right. If you don't handle losing well, that's fine, because I don't handle losing well either. So I don't know. That interaction kind of reminded me of this. That brought that to my mind.
Yeah, but here's the problem with that. I mean, if Nabers would have had 10 catches for 120 yards and they lost, he still would have been happy. See, that's the problem. I want my numbers. I want to win Rookie of the Year. It's all I. And they can't block anybody. I mean, did you watch Evan Neal try to play right tackle for them the other day? Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's unbelievable. And look, I think Nabers will be good. They don't have a quarterback to get them the football. I mean, even Nabers said this isn't on the quarterback, which put it on Daboll. I think Daboll, look at the numbers. I mean, ever since he took over as the play caller, have they been any good offensively? I mean, it takes them 14 plays to go 20 yards.
And is this just, hey, this last 6 weeks or so, this is all about getting Shedeur Sanders? Is that the goal here? Is that the unspoken agreement?
I mean, I watched Shedeur Sanders last week. Does the guy throw anything but bubbles and nine routes? Yeah. I mean, are you sure he's the first pick overall in the draft? Are we sure he's great? I don't know. I mean, I'm asking the question. I don't know. But every time I turn around, he's throwing the ball sideways.
If not him, then who then?
I don't know. I mean, I think Cam Ward's obviously going to throw it up the field. All right, let's go. Kevin O'Connell says he's a big fan of Daniel Jones. He told reporters on Monday, I really can't get into it too much about any short-term or long-term. I can just say I've been a big fan of Daniels for a long time, and I hope whatever his next steps take him, it's a good opportunity for him. Is this news or noise that the Vikings, with J.J. McCarthy and his knee injury, with Sam Darnold on a one-year contract, that they're interested in bringing Daniel Jones in to replace the great Nick Mullins?
I think it's news. I actually thought about the Vikings for a landing spot for Jones. He'd be good as a backup. Look, he's not a good starter, but he can come in. Look, what do you want out of a backup? You want, if he has to play two or three games, can he go 1-1? Can he go 2-1? Can he function? Jones on the Vikings with Addison, with Jefferson, with their run game, he could function. He could be okay. So I actually think he's an upgrade over Mullins. I actually think this is a good landing spot for him.
Yeah, I think if I'm Daniel Jones, I'm going to the coach. I'm not going to the depth chart. I'm going to go to the coach. I'm going to go to Kevin O'Connell. I'm going to go to Kyle Shanahan. I'll go to Sean McVay if he wants me. I'm going to go to a coach who can help me, because I think what's been proven over time is Baker Mayfield's going to the right guy. And I think Liam Cohen's done a much better job than Dave Canales did down in Tampa. You can just see their offense is really lighting it up. They're good. And I think when you look at what's been able to accomplish in some of these teams that have really good quarterback, I mean, look at Sean Payton, Bo Nix. If Bo Nix would have gone to the Raiders, you think he would be having this year? Of course not. It would have been a disaster, because there's nowhere to develop them or the team around them. So I'm with you. If I'm Daniel Jones, I'm going to listen to the Kevin O'Connells and the Kyle Shanahans and the Sean McVays and go to a program like that. So
Well, listen, idea where he ultimately lands?
I think he'll go to Minnesota. I think it's Minnesota. I think Kevin O'Connell's saying that. I don't know if San Francisco's interested, but I think it's Minnesota. And look, we don't know how bad J.J. McCarthy's getting. He had to go in for a second procedure, and Darnold's a free agent. So the ball's in the air there. So I think, to me, that's something that to be considered. Look, that's going to conclude it for us here on the Lombardi Line. Make sure you stay tuned to VSiN. We're going to be followed by the Numbers Game with Gil Alexander, followed by Money Moves with Stormy and Jeff Schwartz, and then stick around for Prop Bets with John Hansen. Will, we will do this again tomorrow. I will be back in New Jersey. You'll be in Connecticut. Thank you for all your help today. Appreciate you.
A lot of fun. See you tomorrow.